I wanted to back up just a little and talk about a brief history of our suicide prevention efforts. Jared mentioned that I'm getting ready to retire. Well, in 1998, when I started in my current position, one of the first things that happened to me was I was named to the Governor's Commission on Suicide Prevention, which was an effort that Governor Romer had put together because he recognized, he issued an executive order stating that suicide was a real problem in our state, so he developed this commission. And so the first report in 1998 came out, and that was called the Colorado Suicide Prevention and Intervention Plan. Kind of a simple name, more still, but it was really great. One of the things that it said was we needed to have a lead entity in Colorado that knew what was happening and kind of coordinated everything, at least communicated with everyone about that. And then in 2000, we passed legislation, and the Office of Suicide Prevention was formed, and that's where Jared is. So we feel really, really lucky that we have such an Office of Suicide Prevention in Colorado. The Colorado Trust, which I mentioned before, then in 2002, put $4.2 million into suicide prevention, and we worked with 10 communities around the state developing suicide prevention programs, everything from education to awareness to gatekeeper training. And I don't know if you're going to, maybe we'll talk about that later if we have time. We did do an evaluation of gatekeeper trainings in those, among those grantees. And then in 2007, we began work to update this. And you know, there's a lot of information in here. It's perhaps not perfect, but it really does talk about some of the achievements and some of the there's about 30 or more communities in Colorado that really are doing some kind of suicide prevention program. And so that's kind of, I mean, it's got a good side and a hard side. The good side is there's a lot going on. The hard side is that it's hard to keep that all coordinated and communicated, and we don't always know what's working and what's not. But this particular thing was a public-private partnership. We went into 5 communities. We have a lot of rural parts of Colorado. So we went into 5 communities because we really wanted to hear from the stakeholders. What do you think? What do you think is working? What do you think is not? Where do you think we need to go? So we had mental health professionals, we had survivors, we had consumers, we had researchers, we had family members, and just anyone who wanted to come. I think we had about 150 people participate in those groups. We also had an advisory group that really massaged this all the way. And then we had data from the Public Health Department, from the Colorado Health Information Data Set, and the Colorado Violent Death Reporting System. And it really identifies some real issues that we have in Colorado. One is with veterans, and no one is surprised about that. If you follow the news, you really know. I mean, we had in the country, we had 4 deaths in Fort Hood recently. And I just heard the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff on NPR on Saturday talking about this issue and saying that, you know, we just don't have it figured out. We don't know where we're going. And the stigma is just huge in this. And I was just really sort of, it made me feel good that it's getting some, not that it's happening, but that at least we're paying attention to it and we're trying to do something about it. His wife was also on talking about what families need to do. So that was, so veterans, a huge, huge issue. Latina youth, which was in one of the slides here about some of the issues facing there. GLBT youth, and that's really been in the headlines a lot lately. And then the elderly. In Colorado, men over 75 have the greatest risk of dying by suicide. And you know, I don't know, we hear a lot, maybe I shouldn't go on my soapbox, but I will just a little bit. We hear a lot about, and we do, we have a lot of kid programs, youth programs, and if a youth commits suicide, it really tugs at our heartstrings. Not so much when an older person commits suicide, because they've lived a good life, perhaps. And but I think the point is, they don't have to be depressed just because they're older. And I think that's the message that I would like to get out there as I get older. We also talked with school districts a lot, and one of the things in the very beginning of this, when I remember in 2002 when we started the 10 Colorado Trust programs around the state, we had a hard time getting into any schools to really talk about suicide, because at that time, and remember Columbine, everybody remembers Columbine, I mean, we had a lot of schools that were really afraid if you talk about it, it's going to make it happen. And so I really see a lot of progress in this regard, especially with gatekeeper trainings and that kind of thing. And the other thing that we really see in schools now is they're saying, we need services for kids. We don't just need the information. We need access to services, because it doesn't help so much if you identify someone if you have nowhere to send them. The good news is, while the average rate of suicide in Colorado in this report actually has decreased by 6.5%, we're still, as I said, in the top 10 in the country. And it doesn't pinpoint so much why is Colorado so high, why are the western states high, but some things we do know is our mental health system is woefully underfunded and fragmented. And so there's a lot of us that work at Mental Health America, we work on this a lot. What can we do to make this less fragmented and more efficient? And then the research shows, you know, we're rural, urban, and suburban in Colorado, and those each present different issues related to suicide. And so we have to pay attention to all of that. And in your book, some of the figures, like the one on page 14, it shows really the shortage of mental health professionals in some of our rural communities, the green. So we're working on that as well in a workforce collaborative that's really saying, okay, what do we need to do here? And I think the future there perhaps is the peer specialists and really having them be more in that caregiver role. So Gerard's going to talk about a couple of our successes, but we do have great awareness programs in this state, and I think we have great gatekeeper trainings. Again, where we need to go with this is we've got to develop the access. Colorado, we love Colorado because you all saw the blue sky today and the mountains and everything. It's just a great place to live. We have one of the lowest obesity rates in the country, and so but we still have to have the whole mind-body connection for it all to work right. In conclusion, it's clear that, you know, we've made progress, and it gives us a direction for the years to come. And so I'm looking forward, even as I retire, to see what will the second decade of suicide prevention programs in this state bring, and where will we be, hopefully not 10 years from now, but 5 years from now. Hopefully that rate has really come down, and we've got some really great access to mental health services. And so Jared's going to talk a little bit about how we're going to do that.
Thank you,
Jared.
All right. We're coming to the end here, and I just have a couple of more points. I know this session is about surveillance. What I'm going to try to do in my portion is to talk about how we've applied some of this surveillance information that we've had to create programs that target specific high-risk groups in Colorado. And before I do that, I just want to say that this is the process of developing this strategic plan for Colorado was a really great experience, because it was such a unique and collaborative effort. Not only did, because part of my role as director of the Office of Suicide Prevention at the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment is my budget's small enough, I'm pretty much a one-person shop. I'm currently a two-person shop because we have Garrett Lee Smith Memorial Act funding. But it's impossible to fulfill the charge that the state legislature has given me, which is to serve as the lead entity for suicide prevention intervention efforts in Colorado. So my job is to collaborate with other organizations and agencies, and these are some statewide agencies who do really great work in not only in mental health prevention and mental health support and promotion, but in suicide prevention. And so the Colorado Trust and Mental Health America of Colorado, my office, the Department of Behavioral Health helped with this, and then a variety of grassroots organizations at the community level really the culmination of this was a lot of feedback and a lot of information that came into developing this report. And we came up with four pretty basic goals. You'll see in the report as you go through it that there are sub-goals under all of these. The first of which, no bias whatsoever, of course, is to develop the full potential of the Colorado Office of Suicide Prevention. My general fund dollars for this year are $285,000 for the state fiscal year. So there's not a lot that I can do with that much money. But I will say that I still have funding at a time when every state in the country is under significant budget cuts. So as of today, I got a gig, we got funding, and we're going to keep rocking and rolling. And what that allows us to do is leverage for federal dollars, to partner with other organizations, and for me to provide funding to local communities to do good suicide prevention work at the community level. If we could leverage more funding, I would immediately turn that around to more research and to more on-the-ground efforts at the community level. So that's what the number one goal is about right there. Two, to promote mental health literacy in a variety of settings, like every state. I think Colorado is uniquely underfunded for our mental health services when we compare it to the rest of the country and look at our high suicide rate in Colorado. We also intend to expand and equalize access to mental health care. Fortunately, that's also a federal initiative, and hopefully we can begin to implement that here in Colorado better. And finally, to use data to guide planning, investment, and changes in policy and practices. And so the two examples I briefly want to give in my time are using the data to what we consider are unique, innovative programs targeting specifically high-risk populations from what the data have told us. And Colorado is fortunate enough to also participate in the National Violent Death Reporting System from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. We're currently one of 18 states participating in that, so that surveillance also helps us generate some of these programs. And obviously, with limited funding, you have to be targeted with how you spend those dollars. So the first example I want to give is a grantee of the Colorado Trust and their initiative, a grantee of mine, not only for the general fund dollars that I receive from the state, but also from the federal dollars that we've received from SAMHSA for the Garrett Lee Smith Memorial Act, is the Jefferson Center for Mental Health, which Jefferson County is a Denver metro county. It's a large county. They have created a program, a training program, designed specifically for people who work with adolescents who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and or questioning. What's really cool about the training program is it's a gatekeeper training program to teach these adults how to identify kids who are suicidal, how to properly intervene, and how to get them to the necessary resources. What they also have developed is, so what they use is the Safe Talk training, which is a LivingWorks gatekeeper training, 3-hour training. They turn it into a full day training, and the morning, the first 3 hours of the training is a session that is designed to provide cultural appropriateness and education and awareness around LGBTQ issues specific to adolescents. So adults who work with that population are given a training in how to recognize and respond to and appropriately work with that population. And then in the afternoon, they're given the Gatekeeper Training Program. And to date, they have trained more than 300 adults in Jefferson County who work with this high-risk population. The data is still coming back, but what they've found, and we know this from all the standardized gatekeeper trainings, is that people's knowledge increases, people's self-efficacy goes up, their awareness goes up. These findings agree with that, and we know that to be true, but they're also reporting that they feel more comfortable in communicating and working with the LGBTQ youth that they serve. And so that's a really great project that's going on currently in Colorado. And to this point, we have funding through 2012 to continue that project and hopefully beyond. The other project I want to talk about is a legacy program here in Colorado. The Carson J. Spencer Foundation was created by a suicidologist here in Colorado whose brother died by suicide. She's active with the American Association of Suicidology, and she created a program called Working Minds, Suicide Prevention in the Workplace. And so what the Working Minds program is working on now is getting, we know that working age men account for our highest number of suicide deaths each year in Colorado, and it's a population that we have very difficult time accessing. And so this project is attempting to respond to that by getting workplaces to recognize not only that suicide prevention is important for them, but also recognizing that it's important for their bottom dollar and for their employees, and that it will save them money in the long run if they can do good, strong suicide prevention work in the workplace. And so they go in and provide trainings, multiple levels of trainings, but it's specifically designed for the workplace. And what they incorporate is the question, persuade, refer, gatekeeper training into their program. They're still collecting data on this project, but it's a really excellent program that they put a lot of time and energy into. And what we're looking for now is additional funding to evaluate it properly, to get it implemented properly, because certainly it would be easier to get into the workplaces if we could provide it free of charge through grant funding. And the intent of the Working Minds program is for it to go beyond Denver and the Colorado region, because it's designed for some electronic internet usage, but also some trainings in person. But they would love to expand it nationwide as well. So information on that, if you're interested in that, please let me know, and I'll put you in touch with Sally Spencer Thomas, who oversees that project.